you need to read that item.
Yeah, and they're item 51-1 and 51-2.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You want just the second item?
No, why don't you read, yeah, sure, why don't you read the second one for now, sure.
Okay, 51-2, adopt a new comprehensive plan for the city of Portland, Oregon.
Okay, and then let's just return to the sign-up sheet, please.
Okay, the first person I show is Christy White. Right, and we're doing three, Martha Stephen and Jesse Gale-Molly. Sorry if I mispronounced that. That's number 30, number 51, and 52. Okay. Martha Stephen, Jesse
Gale-Molly. Come on up and join Ms. White at the table, and we'll let her kick off this afternoon's testimony.
They'll be followed by Ken Diebner, or maybe it's Denver, Ron Lyle, and Barbara Hamilton.
Okay.
Oh, Christine Yoon first.
All right, Christy, you're on first.
Thank you. Christy White representing ESCO. We submitted our written testimony earlier and have submitted another copy here today. So if you have two, you can recycle one. We recognize that this phase of the process is just the comprehensive plan map phase as it relates to ESCO, and we are requesting the mixed employment designation for the ESCO property. It's currently split designated. We have a split designation of mixed employment and industrial. The reason for the request is multifold. First, we have a corporate headquarters there on the property, and corporate headquarters is allowed on the property because there's currently a manufacturing and production use, the foundry. As I think you've heard, the foundry will be closing down over the next year, which makes the corporate headquarters a nonconforming use, making it an at-risk development for a 100-year-old business, and they're very much interested in staying in Portland, growing their headquarters, potentially growing their research and development and office. And the mixed employment designation allows them to do all of that on all of their property in a comprehensive way. What's important about that is that the mixed employment designation is recognized in the code as an industrial and industrial-related designation and continues to allow all of the industrial uses that ESCO or others might engage in. It also does allow some office uses, but what's important about the ESCO proposal is ESCO is in the Giles Lake Industrial Sanctuary Plan District, and we're not asking to get removed from that plan district. So all of the protections that come with that industrial sanctuary plan district would stay on the ESCO site. We would advocate for an expansion of Subdistrict B, which limits office uses in that area to a one-to-one, a very low FAR. And any additional FAR you have to pay into a transportation management fund. So to the extent... 17 seconds. So the extent any of this has traffic impacts, those will be studied if we get part of the map. And then there's a second step to get the zone change, which would then be another traffic study. And if this property was ever sold, there'd be yet another traffic study because of a land division. So with all of those protections, we ask to be included on the map. Thank you.
Thank you. That's helpful. I hadn't realized about the FAR limitation before now. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Marty Stive, and I'm here on behalf of Richard Passantini of Belmar Properties. Belmar Properties manages the properties that are controlled by the John Passantini family, of which 30 are impacted by the comp plan map update. Most of those sites are retail businesses. We're supporting of the plan's effort and the city's effort in updating the plan, but we have a concern about the mixed-use dispersed plan designation. Six of our properties have that plan designation proposed for them. On three of those properties, we think it's an inappropriate plan designation. Two of those three sites are adjacent to one another. They're at the corner of Southeast 60th and Southeast Belmont, northeast of that intersection. They're identified on the plan map as change number 254. The mixed-use dispersed plan designation is the lowest density of the mixed-use plan designations, it's proposed to be implemented by only two zones, CM1 and CE, neither of which allow the uses and the density that we think to be appropriate for the location. On the opposite corner of that site is a five-story medical rehab facility. It's well-served by transit and other services, and we'd like to see a higher density zone. But unfortunately, that mixed-use dispersed plan designation only implements two zones, and it's very limited, and we think that the mixed-use dispersed zone should allow the CM2 zoning. If not, another solution would be to rezone it to mixed-use neighborhood. The other site with the same situation is up on Southwest Gibbs. It's a retail site now, but we believe it's appropriate to have a higher density on it as well. It's zoned commercial storefront, The two zones that are proposed to implement the mixed-use dispersed zoning don't allow either the FAR or the height that is allowed in the existing zoning today. So if the plan designation is mixed-use dispersed, the only zones that implement it would not allow the level of development that is allowed today, and we think that's a problem. The solution that we are proposing would be to redesignate both of those sites to mixed-use neighborhood, which would allow us to put a higher density zone on it, or to allow the CM2 zoning to be implemented in the mixed-use dispersed zone, the plan designation.
Okay. So these sites are occupied by retail businesses now?
The 60th and Belmont site is vacant, two lots that are vacant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you've given the Bureau that list?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
We've submitted written testimony on all of the properties into your record.
Okay, thank you. Thanks
You're
very
welcome.
Much. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Jesse Guy-Mulley. I'm the spokesperson for DeVu and Lee family. They own and lease a property located at 6724 Southeast 82nd Avenue in Portland, Oregon. And together with the two vacant lots, which is 5 and 6, located to the south of the said reference address. Historically, the parcels to the north and south, the vacant lots, were grandfathered when the zoning changed to residential, since it was currently being used in a commercial zoning classification. The two lots were then zoned residential, since it was vacant and not being used in a commercial zone capacity. So we hereby request that the zoning be changed for the vacant lots 5 and 6 to the same zoning as the two commercial parcels, that is to the north and south of the vacant lots that are currently in automotive repair and sales. And I have legal descriptions and plat map if you guys would like to see it.
Yeah, no, please just make sure you leave those for us. Those will go into the record and we'll all get them. So.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next three are Ken Diener, I believe it is, Christine Yoon, and Barbara Hamilton. And they will be followed by Frank Milan, Nancy Chapin, and Andrew Pagot. I'll get those.
That's all right. Yes, please. Thank you. Okay. Can't remember who's first, but go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right, well, thank you for the continuation. My name is Ken Diener. I'm a resident within this plan change area just south of Stark called Plan Change 348 between 16th and 19th. The one thing that's working against us in this continuation is that the mood was set very strongly and very clearly at the hearing last week about the themes of gentrification and the destruction of neighborhoods, what is being lost along the way. Commissioner Novick spoke passionately about his thirst for density, but I'd like to suggest that thirst is maybe drinking the wrong Kool-Aid, actually. If you look at the 63 lots that have been proposed by the planners, these 63 lots are not on a commercial corridor. They're not on a transit. For some reason, the planners decided that this was a spot zone that they wanted to try to rezone. Every one of these 63 lots is developed. We've been living in this neighborhood, the least of the people speaking here, 15 years. I've been there for 18. We have residents that have been there for 40. And the only reason for doing a change of zone in a place that's not broken is to encourage tearing down these houses. If you look at the second page that I'm presenting to you, we have 15 lots of the 63 that are single-family historic homes that could be torn down for six units, three lots, two units per lot. We have 110 units in this area already. The only reason to bring these further into density is to tear down 110 units, which are already multifamily. Obviously, new units will be much less affordable. I have statistics here from Preservation and Green Council that says renovation creates only 15 tons versus a new home 50 tons of CO2. each time you tear down something and build new. Or in other words, single family existing only creates is 12% of the CO2 green impacts compared to new construction.
Got it. So what do you think the designation should be? I understand you don't support what's been mapped. But
we're zoned R5 right now.
So you want to leave it at R5?
Leave it alone. There is no reason to do 348 or 928. 928 literally is that little blue area, and that literally tears down two very historic homes. If you look at the picture there, tear them down and build townhouse courtyards. There's 10 low-income housing units on the north end of that little blue block. What planner was misguided to think that he's creating anything of benefit by tearing those existing low-income housing down, if not being encouraged in a worse-than-innocent way?
But the non-conforming use status of some of that multifamily is not really a problem from your standpoint?
They have been non-conforming for the last 50 years,
and
they've all been rehabbed. Yeah. Every one of these buildings has been redone in the last 10 years. They've been condominiumized, they've been rebuilt, they've been reinvested. My house is circled by apartments that have all been reinvested in. They're all grandfathered.
Yeah.
It's all density. We have 110 units here that are at risk of being torn down just to build new. It makes absolutely no sense.
Mayor, I believe this is in the area that your planner showed me the map. It's just a mosaic of different kinds of development and makes a beautiful mix. And the kind of thing that was being called for in other areas where there's more blanket development. So at the last hearing, I mentioned I thought maybe we should consider freezing the zoning in this area and doing a plan district where we could actually make things so that it would be easier to do improvements and harder to tear things down.
Yeah, because that was my concern. On the flip side, is not, you know, obviously, you know, every plan, I was talking about this earlier today, every plan's a plan for change and a plan for preservation, right? And you got to figure out where you want each one.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, we're talking about preserving a pattern that doesn't fit the palette of zoning designations, either in the old plan or the new one.
Right.
So
this doesn't have a pattern. It's just a mishmash, and it's a beautiful mishmash.
Yeah, it's exactly the issue that it doesn't fit the Planning Bureau. When you're looking at it down there on 4th Street from 50 miles above, and you're looking at trying to have some kind of neat thing on paper, this is an existing neighborhood that's one of the standpoint, you know, the highlights of Portland. This is why Portland is Portland. We've been here. Thousands of volunteer hours have gone into this neighborhood to make it what it is, and you're trying to move us out. And, you know, I'm here to lose money.
Yeah, no, we're not trying to move anybody out, but the issue is it's got to be something that's administratable, you know, for everybody. So, no, you made this point very well and appreciate this. So, thank you.
Thank you.
No other questions. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate it. Welcome.
I just want to make sure you have the handouts before I start talking.
You bet.
Because they're relevant.
All right. Thank you.
And I will be addressing, I'll be following up Ken's point.
Thank you very much. Okay, I think we're set.
All right. I'm Christine Yoon, and I'm requesting a council amendment to eliminate proposed changes 348 and 928. I believe that good design, historic preservation, and minimizing CO2 emissions are not mutually exclusive. I am addressing historic preservation issues in Buckman as part of the Portland Coalition for Historic Resources and as a resident. I was part of a volunteer team that tried to nominate a National Registered District in Buckman. You can see the district's boundary in red on page one of the handout. And there are other pages maps of the district on page two that show contributing properties. Contributing structures are the foundation of a historic district and have historic worth. This nomination was enthusiastically supported by the State Advisory Committee on Historic Preservation, SHPO, and the National Park Service. And the neighbors voted against the nomination because they feared regulation and gentrification, oddly enough. We asked for a determination of eligibility from the Park Service, which means that the application can be resubmitted in the future as long as there are no drastic changes to the district and no opposition from residents. 49 out of the 63 properties in this area proposed to be upzoned are contributing. Six could become contributing with minor renovations, and 8 are non-contributing. Of the 8 that are non-contributing, 5 are larger apartment buildings with 11 or more units. So by encouraging this upzoning and the demolition, you're actually destroying density, you're losing affordable housing, and you're also losing this wonderful mix of historic structures that span a period from 1880s to about 1939 to have a monoculture of our 2.5 single-family houses, $700,000, 3,000 square feet plus. So the new zoning will encourage demolitions and is at odds with a determination of eligibility and a potential viable historic district, and with Goal 5 of the Oregon Statewide Planning Goals, which asks to conserve historic areas. So that's why I'm asking for this council amendment. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you.
You have my hand out?
Good afternoon. We might have your hand out.
You have it?
Wendy, yes.
A little map.
Yes.
Wonderful. My name is Barb Hamilton. I live at 1405 Northeast 53rd Avenue, and I am here to oppose the rezoning of a single R5 lot at the corner of Northeast 53rd and Halsey Street to the too broad CM1 or commercial multi-use 1 designation. This is the map that I've provided you. Proposed change 347. Mm-hmm. I've provided you this SNP of the recommended comprehensive map with this single R5 lot located. The pink island surrounded by blocks and blocks of residential, mostly small-scale, single-family homes. Also included is the Rose City Park Neighborhood Association's previously submitted testimony on our behalf. They also asked that this CM1 rezoning be denied. This stack of signed opposition statements, one of which is attached, which is representative of just the couple hours of my time that I had to devote to this. Over 40 of my neighbors, a 100% hit rate. Once this was explained to them, they all agreed that this is CM1 scale is incongruous to our neighborhood. Northeast 53rd is already a very busy street. It's a jogged street at Halsey. There's a light and a cafe on this residential site. It's heavily it's a bike pathway. There's a lot of residents and pedestrians already. The CM1 would typically, generally, on average, allow a 35-foot or taller building with no parking required. So very few of these people are against change or think that Halsey Street won't eventually evolve. Our concerns are that this broad designation applied to this one single R5 lot at this point in time will not fit with the small scale of our neighborhood and would pressure an already burdened parking and unsafe traffic situation. Some years in the future, most likely when the next comprehensive plan is discussed, this development would make more sense. As you can see by the map, when commercial development has filled in from Northeast 43rd heading east and from Northeast 60th heading west. So my neighbors and I, as well as the Rose City Park Neighborhood Association, are asking you to please remove this small pink square from the comprehensive plan and its C1M rezoning designation due to the improper scale and lack of parking concerns, and honestly, the lack of a smaller scale or more limited option within the multi-use designation. I thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, no, the planning staff mentioned this site to me earlier today when we were getting ready for the hearing. Dumb question that I failed to ask them, which is, how did the cafe get developed on this site in the first place? Was it?
It's been a long time historical retail site.
Yeah.
It's an R5 zone, but it's been a retail site for years. It used to, way back in the 40s, and I was told it was a barber shop. It was a little market. It's been a
predated the zoning ordinance, or at least the modern version of it.
Well, I think there may have been a house with the barber shop in it. You know, at some point.
Yeah, no, we've got a bunch of those around the city. Okay.
And I think in plan view, you know, or you look at a list and it's already a cafe, it might make sense. But if you go to that corner and you see what other homes and how small the scale of everything is right there, it makes no sense to wind up with a 35 or 40-foot facade on that site.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all. Let's take the next three, please.
61, Frank Milan, 62, Nancy Chapin, and we'll do 66, Andrew Paget. And they will be followed by 64, Kristen Green, 68, Dana Denny, and 69, Margaret Davis.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Please.
Mayor and Council, my name is Frank Milan. I live in Northwest Portland. First, I want to thank Councillor Fritz for voting against the West End Quadrant Plan and asking that it be reconsidered this year. In my opinion, the most critical issue in Portland is that development is out of control. This is what is creating a lack of affordable housing and adding to homelessness. While development can be good for the city and create employment, uncontrolled development is not. From my viewpoint, the Portland Comprehensive Plan appears to be rigged in favor of developers. The permitting process of the Bureau of Development Services appears to be rigged as well. Out-of-scale monstrosity projects are being permitted by the BDS that are seriously impacting our city. Just about any building is being torn down if a developer requests it. This is being promoted as inevitable to accommodate a rush of people moving here. However, in my opinion, this is not inevitable. It is development out of control. Portland has been a city with a history of public policy that has protected our future for the common good and for generations to come. In my opinion, the Portland Comprehensive Plan, as it sits now, is subverting this process in favor of serving development's special interests. Perhaps, Mayor Hales, you can tell us how the Comprehensive Plan and the BDS have been allegedly rigged in favor of developers since this has all happened since you took office in 2013. But it is also my understanding that the Attorney General's office has been approached with this question. Under what circumstances will the Attorney General's office open an investigation into the relationship between Portland Mayor Charlie Hales and the developers who are active in this city? The media may be very interested in the response to this question. Councillors, particularly you, Councillor Novick, Councillor Saltzman, and Councillor Fish, if he was here, I encourage you to consider the long-term effects of your decisions about development. You can choose to distance yourself now from this mayor and from development, which is out of control. I hope you will choose to defend the integrity of our residential areas and neighborhood commercial districts and protect this city from even more unnecessary destruction, which cannot be reversed.
Thank you. Welcome.
Well, good afternoon. Nancy Chapin. You all know about the five-story building that is being proposed at 3423 Southeast Hawthorne between two one-story retail buildings. It's, as you can see, definitely a sore thumb, and it is being asked to be approved. I believe it's not only your right, according to the criteria of context, but your responsibility as guardians of Portland's livability and history to not allow that development to go through. As an alternative, rather than approving a sore thumb in the middle of an historic district, I suggest that the Gateway Town Center be developed as it was intended to be. I've driven on 122nd. I've driven in that area. There's all kinds of property that could be developed now. There's some money coming through for affordable housing. If you have to do an incentive to get some builders out there in that far reach of Portland, do it. That if we don't get affordable housing, we're going to end up with an exodus from Portland that will mean we don't need those 300,000 rent units for people to live in because it's becoming unlivable, as you know, if you attended the concern about housing and lack of it. Think that apartments can be built and occupied within as few as 4 months on Southeast 50th, 52nd, Division, Powell. And now those funds are available, please use them to develop affordable housing in an area that is waiting for it and ready for it, the Gateway District. And please leave our historic districts so that they maintain their beauty and their history. Five stories in the midst of two one-story retail buildings with no retail and no parking is an abomination.
So that's 3423, did you say?
Yes. Southeast Hawthorne.
So, Nancy, you've been around land use for a while, and you know how it works, which is the city council doesn't make site-specific permitting decisions.
I know.
We adopt a zoning ordinance, and then people have entitled rights, which they can build to and get a permit for, and it's not a political decision, it's a ministerial decision. So what's the zoning on this site now?
Storefront
commercial?
Yes. And no retail is planned, no parking is planned.
So it's storefront commercial, and that allows either multifamily or commercial, right, under the current code?
The current code.
But five stories, that's allowed by right, or is that by bonus?
It appears to be some bonus in the fact that it's on a little hill, so somehow they figured out that that gives them a right to have another story on it.
And you think this should be zoned what?
Well, I think it should be zoned so that it matches the area, at least no more than three stories, which you have across the
street.
It would
be the new mixed-use one designation, right?
Right. Okay. And the other thing is, if you were to do that two-year moratorium until the plan is approved, which I understand is a way you can do a moratorium, I think that that would be a really wise decision right now until this plan is done. It's 10 years later than it was supposed to be. I worked on the one that was approved in the 80s, and it was supposed to be done 10 years ago, and we wouldn't be going through this if it had been done in a timely manner. So,
okay. Thank you. We're going to try to speed it up. Thank you. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, councillors, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity to testify. My name is Andrew Padgett. I represent PepsiCo. Our adjoining properties at 2627 Northeast Sandy Boulevard and 2505 Northeast Pacific Street are home for over 60 years and home to close to 300 Pepsi employees, local residents. While we are enthusiastically support the comp plan, we recognize that the mixed-use urban center that's proposed for this area will impinge on our operations. It's our understanding that the general employment zones EG1 and EG2 will allow commercial truck parking with some limitations, but that would require a change in designation from mixed-use urban center to mixed employment in order to allow those EG1 or EG2 zones to be implemented. PepsiCo is therefore formally requesting that City Council consider implementing such a change. Thank you.
So you plan to keep operating for the foreseeable future?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The redevelopment's not in your plans?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, next three.
Are Kristen Green, Dana Denny, and Margaret Davis.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. My name is Kirsten Green. By training and trade, I'm a comprehensive planner and managing principal at Kogan Owens Green here in Portland. Our business is advancing best practices in community planning. We also convene a cross-generational, multicultural community of practice dedicated to diversifying the thought and practitioners of community planning. Building on our 40 years of practice at Kogan Owens, this year we've been studying just the issue before you, how to avoid the mistakes of past planning and investment strategies as we plan for a better future. A proud affiliate member of the Anti-Displacement Coalition, our community urges you to adopt the planning and sustainability recommended anti-displacement measures in their entirety, and to do so with both a historical justice and an equity lens, citywide and without exception. We believe we owe it to current and future generations to create inclusive communities that create economic diversity and opportunity while advancing our shared obligation to affirmatively further fair housing, while complying with local, regional, and state goals for a range of housing choice in opportunity areas throughout our great city. By adopting the anti-displacement policies, you will usher in our new era where we're utilizing best practices, including the equity lens tool Bureau staff have been advancing. What we need now with your leadership is supporting, indeed firmly requiring, all communities to be inclusive, to take up their share of needed housing, and to overcome NIMBYism and fear of change. One thing good cities do well, as you know, is evolve, and we can evolve beautifully as well as equitably. You have the best planners in the state to support you in this regard. By adopting these recommendations and implementing them in partnership with historic and impacted communities, you'll achieve what you seek, to achieve a racially equitable and just city. Please say yes to adopt the recommendations in their entirety for past, current, and future generations. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Dana Denny. I think this is my fourth time in front of you. I have some information I'm providing you with you today to document how, well, I'm here to address tiny homes. Fresno, California just recently allowed tiny homes into their city, and this is how they did it, so I thought I would share that information with you. You can look at it. I reviewed the housing section of the proposed comprehensive plan and have my findings here. There's Goal 5A, housing diversity, Goal 5D, affordable housing, and 5E, high-performance housing. Our little homes are very efficient and have a very minimal carbon footprint. In the policies, 5.3, potential, we can serve low and middle-income needs. 5.4, types, our houses are new and innovative and very small. Housing access, 5.12, provides stability. 5.15, curtails involuntary displacement. 5.16, land banking, could providing land for our little affordable units to be on. And my favorite, 5.18, aging in place with dignity. In the housing location section, 5.20, please provide access to opportunities. Housing affordability, 5.29, housing cost burden, 5.3, housing prosperity, various types, 5.35, impact of regulations on affordability, 5.42, variety of home ownership opportunities, 5.44, regional balance. And health and safety, 5.49, high-performance houses. Our houses are very energy efficient, and they have great quality. So as you can see, our tiny homes do fit in the comprehensive plan. They are free to the city of Portland at no cost. So I encourage you to please include these small homes in this proposed comprehensive plan and let me age with dignity in my little house. Thank you.
You may have heard the council earlier today approved the appointment of Eli Spivak to the Planning Commission.
I'm going to contact him next.
I'll
start working with him as well.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon.
Great news about Eli. I'm Margaret Davis. I'm here for Beaumont-Wilshire Neighborhood Association. My comment is on public comment. Along with many people here, I've already made specific comment on the MAP app and in other forms, but I worry that those comments are being erased instead of informing the decisions as they're intended and I believe as required by the comp plan. Here's why. I had the recent discussion draft issued by the Mixed Use Zones Project by the Bureau of Planning. Beaumont-Wilshire Neighborhood has had a representative closely following this project. Jack Bookwalter has a background in architecture and is a retired city planner with the Sonoma, California. Lives in Beaumont now, and we are lucky to have him as our land use chair. In other words, he really knows his land use. Under his direction, we worked hard as a board to comment on the project, which contemplates many of the same issues under discussion today. We submitted a letter detailing our concerns and ideas for Northeast Fremont Street. I am providing that letter to you. The planners for that project gathered the public comment into one document, which I have here and which I have also provided to you in pertinent part. We see that our comment has been significantly altered. Some examples include, our stated strong opposition to CM2 zoning for Northeast Fremont is gone. Our description of the meeting with TriMet, where we were told that frequent service would never be in the offing for Fremont, is gone. Our gotcha, where we found the planners had changed the wording of CM2 criteria from well-served by frequent transit to just well-served by transit, is gone. The unsuitability of the infrastructure on Fremont to support high-density development, such as narrowness of the street and other factors, is gone. In fact, every criticism in our letter is gone, and the only things left are the praise that we had for the planners. We are stunned that a thoughtful, well-researched contribution to city planning would be so changed and demand transparency in the public comment process. All the comments that people have made on the MAP app and elsewhere, will the decision makers see them? Or are they already deleted by staff who don't want others to learn what Portlanders on the ground believe and know? If this city wants to maintain and build public trust, this is not the way to do it. We have time and again worked within the city's prescribed processes to make our voices heard, but when our efforts are deleted, it makes us wonder what forces are at work. This is evidence that you and other decision makers are not receiving the truth from the voices at the ground level before approving any plans. We urge an audit of the public comment received so far. We also urge you to bring integrity and value to the public comment process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay.
The next three are 70, 72, and 73. John Washington, Alim Gibrahiwat, and Michael Robinson. And they'll be followed by 74, 75, and 78. Deborah O'Neill, Soren Impe, and Tamara DeRitter. Oh, I'm sorry, 76, Joseph Wesley, I believe.
Yes. Good afternoon. I think Mr. Washington's first.
No, I'm going to pass to Mr. Gabrielli.
Okay. Welcome.
Hello, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. I'm here to testify on North Fremont. We are asking to change the zoning from residential to a mixed use. I have been in the neighborhood for the last 30 years.
Fremont and what?
Sorry. North Fremont, from Mississippi to Vancouver Avenue.
Okay.
I have been in this neighborhood for the last 30 years, and I have seen a lot of changes going through, which at the time that we have seen in a great time, that there is quite a lot of development coming. And in the last 30 years also, we have seen quite a lot of gentrification that has been done, and still there is quite a lot of disparity of housing and businesses. As there is quite a lot of improvement in the streets around us, Mississippi and commercial, I think there is a lot of improvement that could be done on Fremont, on North Fremont, from Mississippi and Vancouver. I am asking you to change this zone from residential into a mixed zone. It is about 10 blocks, and it has pretty much in each block two houses, which is about 1,000 square feet. Changing this street into mixed use, it would bring a lot of the community that has been moved out to come back home. It could be built large buildings in the street. And the reason for that is this street is so close to the downtown or to anywhere. And practically, actually, it should be a commercial or mixed-use street. And this doesn't really destroy any historic impact into this street or to this housing, because the houses don't have any historic significance, but, you know, human history. And bringing back this community that has been moved away to far away, like last week, people have been talking, I think this would be a good solution to change that street into a mixed zone and giving the opportunity that has been there for many years that have left, you know, people that have left are being left there that are the only remaining ungentrified people could benefit out of it by changing this zone. Yes, of course, you know, there is a lot of real estate issues that is going on, but, you know, this would be a good solution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Good afternoon, Commissioners. We appreciate you guys allowing us to come and sit and testify before us. I'm here on behalf of the North Northeast Business Association. And one of the things that is primary that I was sent down here with marching orders to do is to make sure that I continue to inform you that the issue of the plan of economic development just doesn't talk about, is just not inclusive only of housing, low-income housing. We're also concerned about retail space. And the fact in the Northeast is that the retail space for the demographic that has been pushed out is basically dwindling. And one of the things that the North Northeast Business Association is in support of is the Fremont request for the Fremont change, and that is for mixed use. And also trying to maintain some affordable retail space in the district for some of those businesses to return that was forced out of the environment. We're also wanting to let you know that the issue around neighborhood associations and business associations and the conversation that around the fair involvement of both of those organizations in land use matters. We would like to see more business associations involved in land use matters as the plan progresses on, and that's one of the things that we have a real serious concern about. Great. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, members of council. My name is Mike Robinson. I'm here on behalf of Providence Health and Services Oregon. I submitted a letter to you dated January 7th of this year, so I'll limit my testimony to just a few things. First, I want to offer a compliment to your professional staff and to the public. This comprehensive plan, in my opinion, continues your tradition of having the best written and best edited planning documents in the state. It's easy to understand. We may not all agree with everything that's in it, but it's professionally drafted, and it's a good document. It's easy to use, so I think it will serve the public well. I have two substantive things I'd like to tell you today. In our letter, Providence has suggested two additional plan policies in the campus institutional plan policy section. The first is new policy 6.61. That's a policy that would require the implementing land use regulations to provide for the continuation and extension of existing conditional use master plan for institutions. We appreciate the city recognizing the importance of institutions to the region's economy, and we appreciate the primary or the allowed use that the base zone would provide. But the reality is we have a real investment in our conditional use master plan. We've worked hard with our neighbors to see that it works and that it's neighborhood friendly. The proposed land use regulations unfortunately terminate existing and approved CUMPs early and don't provide for extension. We think it's important that there be a plan policy recognizing the investment that the neighbors and the institutions have made in the CUMPs. Secondly is new plan policy 6.62. Part of our plan, CUMP, has a very effective transportation demand management plan. Providence's, for instance, has resulted in a reduction of single occupancy vehicle travel each year since its implementation. We'd like this plan policy to be considered by the council so that the land use regulations and administrative rules to be adopted would provide for the continuation of successful and effective TDMs. And we thank you for your time today.
Help me out with this, just to understand how this would work. I need to go back and look at the campus institutional portion of the plan and what the policies would be. But the purpose of that was to enshrine and legalize the use of the uses like campus institutional uses that are there under these conditional use master plans. So. In theory, I get it that we would adopt this in plan and in code, and you wouldn't need a conditional use master plan anymore. So what's the substantive difference of continuing and extending existing master plans versus having it, you know, down in chapter and verse in the code? I just need to understand how that would work in practice differently.
Well, we have, Mayor, Providence has two principal concerns, and of course this relates to Portland Providence Medical Center. We're fine with the concept of the CI2 zoning district that, as you say, enshrines the use. The issue is the CUMP terminates, and under administrative rules we haven't seen yet that are going to be promulgated by PBOT, we're going to have to do a new TDM. We don't know what's required in that. We don't know how extensive it's going to be. So we want to keep the CUMP in place. We have a good TDM that works now. It's working for the public, it's working for us, and we'd like to keep it in place through its vested period, which I think in this case is 2023, and be able to extend it. We appreciate, we're not saying don't adopt the plan map designation, don't adopt the zones, but we're happy with how we've been able to work with the CUMP, with the neighbors, and implement a successful TDM plan. Without the ability to keep that in place, we're going to be forced at some point to do a different TDM. We'd be less concerned if we knew what that was going to be, but those rules haven't been adopted. By the time they get adopted, CUMP is going to be on its way out, and we're concerned about that. And I will tell you, I think your staff has been responsive to us on this. They've convened a meeting tomorrow with PBOT. We're going to go to that and listen, and we may have some additional comments. But that, Mayor, is I'm not trying to make a simple issue complex, but it's intertwined with the TDM regs.
Yeah, no, that helps. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's a good.
Yeah, I know that neighbors have different but similar concerns the other way, particularly where there's going to be a new institutional residential zoning, and yet there isn't a master plan. And
right.
So in that instance, what guides the rules? So
yeah,
I think we've heard a lot about not adopting the mixed-use zones until we know what the implementing rules are and what's going to be allowed. I hear a similar concern from many different sides on the institutional zoning.
That's correct. And may I offer one other quick thing?
Please. Yeah.
We testify, and again, the PSC is a very interesting organization to testify in front of. They actually listen and engage you in discussion, which I think is what we all try and achieve. No one at that hearing on the 14th said they wanted the CUMPs to go away. All of the institutions that testified expressed support for them. And I think people would tell you they were tough to get done, but one of the values that I think Providence and I see, I don't speak for myself, I speak for my client, it's actually forced us to engage our neighbors and do a better job of working with them. And I think there were a lot of early skirmishes, but I'm comfortable in saying that the relationship is much better. And if we hadn't had the instrument of the CUMP to help us do that, I'm not sure we would have gotten there.
Yeah. No, I've been through that process a time or two,
and fun,
I've seen that
it?
Effect. Yeah,
yeah,
you're right. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Next three are 74, 75, and 76. Deborah O'Neill, Soren Impe, and Joseph Weston. And they'll be followed by 78, Tamara DeRitter, 81, Vivian Satterfield Opal, and 83.
Yeah, Tamara,
Rose,
you're in the next
Kowalski.
Wave. So.
Sorry.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and members of the Portland City Council. My name is Deborah O'Neill, and I am speaking today on behalf of the Architectural Heritage Center and the Bosco Milligan Foundation. Other individuals have and will testify on behalf of the Architectural Heritage Center and the Foundation. The purpose of my testimony will be to highlight elements of the proposed comprehensive plan that are strongly supported by the Center and the Bosco Milligan Foundation. First, the Architectural Heritage Center and the Foundation support the proposed comprehensive plan's recommendation to downzone the Elliott Conservation District. This was specifically requested by the neighborhood, which looked to match zoning with conservation district guidelines. Second, we also support the elimination of the no net loss housing policy, which has limited flexibility when neighborhood and or area plans are updated. Given that existing zoning already supports substantially more residential capacity than is required by 2035, we believe that there should be flexibility in protecting our historic districts and in as yet undesignated historic areas. Finally, the Architectural Heritage Center and the Foundation also support the efforts of the Infill Design Task Force and emphasize the importance of its work, especially as it relates to lot confirmation issues. I thank you for your time and for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Soren Impe, and I have rented in the Buckman neighborhood for 16 years. In fact, 80% of my neighbors rent. Nevertheless, Buckman and much of Portland is experiencing a housing crisis with record low vacancy rates and an epidemic of displacement of long-term residents. As a renter threatened by displacement myself, I strongly support upzoning of plots adjacent to centers and quarters in the Buckman area and the inner southeast as a whole. I also ask that you support changes that allow for greater low-rise density in exclusionary residential zoned areas. As the recent stabilization of rents in central Seattle illustrates, inclusionary upzoning is critical for increasing housing equity in this city. And I want to talk about a recent comprehensive study of 95 large metropolitan areas, which found that density restrictions increase economic segregation by promoting concentration of affluence. In fact, the authors conclude that density restrictions are a culprit in the social fragmentation of metropolitan areas and should be relaxed wherever possible. Mm-hmm. I urge the council to give more weight to housing equity and less weight to what I believe are often euphemisms for economic self-interest, such as charm, historic, and character. I am also, and now I'm going to change hats, I'm also here as a board member of Bike Lab PDX and a founder of Livable Streets Action, two active transport advocacy organizations. And I'd like to thank the commissioners and mayor for approving the Vision Zero Plan, the Neighborhood Greenway Report, and recently approving and starting to implement bike share. Nevertheless, Portland is falling well behind its bike plan goal of 25% mode share by 2030. Multiple projects in the comprehensive plan that we believe are essential to reaching these mode share goals have been pushed back. We urge you to push forward projects such as the Inner Sandy Boulevard, Hollywood Town Center, Belmont Morrison Bikeway, Inner Holgate Bikeway into the first decade. And we also urge you to prioritize the Inner Burnside Ped bike improvements and the Inner Barber Quarter improvements. And many of these points have been made in a letter that I believe has been sent to the council and the mayor. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Joseph Weston, and we do own a considerable amount of property in Portland, but I'm going to limit my comments to three areas that I'm very concerned about. The first area is up at Sylvan. If you look at the packet that I gave you, there's a map here. When we developed these properties back in the 60s, they were referred to as woody walk-ups. And a woody walk-up is one that does not have an elevator, and you have to walk up the stairs. The site is an ideal site for a Class A office complex. It's close to the city. It's right on light rail. It's an area that should be zoned, in my estimation, EG2. And I ask you to give that some consideration. We get calls all the time on that property. I will not redevelop. It will be done after I'm long gone. But it should be redeveloped to its highest and best use. And its highest and best use would be a zone of EG2. The second area is the close-in Central East Side. We've acquired over the years the real estate owned by Jansen Knitting Mills, Nationwide Insurance, Portland Bottling, the Salvation Army, what they owned on the north side of Sandy, the remainder of Lyman Slack Motors, and Oregon Plaza Building. We have 175,000 square feet of land there. It was my intent when I assembled that to perhaps do another Hoyt Street property development known as the Pearl. But I, at my age, and I don't have the patience, I have to admit that now to you, that I probably will not be developing that. But it should be developed to its highest and best use. We're working with Washington Capital. They own some property in there. And we ask that that be brought into the city under Central City. It should be Central City zoning. It's the largest piece of property under private ownership in the Central City. It's close in, right in the Lloyd Center area. Please give it some consideration. And the third property is a property at the east end of the Broadway Bridge. You had a city commissioner, Eric. He approached me. He said, we would like to develop the east end of the Broadway Bridge. That's when they were doing one of many, 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 many studies of the Memorial Coliseum. So I said, well, you go ahead and rezone it. We'll build something. There's a drawing in there, a rendering of a building we're going to build. I get a call from Eric. All of a sudden, he says, well, Sam Adams changed his mind. They want to do the Burnside Bridge at the east end of the Burnside Bridge. They're going to put in the Burnside Cooch Couplet. So don't waste any more time on your project there because we're not interested anymore. But I want that's now in Central City. I want to leave it in Central City. So your cooperation in amending it to get these zones on these three undeveloped or not developed to its highest and best use would be appreciative. We own property in almost all these areas other people have talked about. I'm not worrying about it. Fully developed, maybe it'll be a non-conforming use, but we'll be grandfathered in. And when I'm gone, somebody else can worry about it. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. We hope you're not gone anytime soon. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to go pick up my lottery money now.
Thank you, Joe.
The next three are 78, Tamara DeRitter, 81, Vivian Satterfield Opal, and 83, Rose Kowalski. And they'll be followed by 85 representatives from MISO, 86 Nikki Johnston, and 88 Wendy Chung.
Okay, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Tamara DeRitter. I'm the chairman for Rose City Park Neighborhood Association, which I am representing today. There are three concerns. First, passenger vehicles may change to electric over the next 20 years, but they will not go away. And right now, the comprehensive plan predicts that 30% of all households in the city will reduce to one or no vehicles at all. So I don't think that's real. Also, number two, the public parking needs to be planned for and implemented in centers and civic corridors, or you will lose your small businesses. This issue is not addressed at all. Number three, request the support of a provisional map amendment for Euclid Heights subdivision and for Northeast 60th Avenue Station area. So on behalf of our, number one, on behalf of our neighborhood association and Central Northeast neighbors, please remove or level the transportation use hierarchy contained in section 9.6. Right now, 9.6 identifies bicycles as second only to pedestrians and handicapped uses for all the uses on public roads. Bicycles are prioritized over transit, over freight, over carpools, over electric cars, and last but not least, passenger vehicles. This policy is cast the same for all the roads in Portland, not just downtown. Instead, create a best practices transportation as they do with science. And slide one. This is a new car, and it's an electric car, and they're making these or looking to make these for the average citizen. So this is Frohmeyer's son, actually, invented this. So already the language that you have in this plan is antiquated. Number two.
Go ahead quickly, because I have a question for you, sir.
Okay, number two, public off-street parking needs to be planned and implemented for the centers and the civic corridors. I represent both our neighborhood and Central Northeast neighbors on this as well. I represent the neighborhood, both of these groups, for in the Centers and Corridors Parking Task Force. None of the staff in that committee or in the draft of the comprehensive plan have addressed the critical issue that mixed-use commercial will contain high-density residential units that require 72 parking spaces for each 100 units.
Okay, got it. And what's your third one?
And the third one is the provisional map amendment that we have.
So do you have a new proposed map for us for that area?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. Sorry, you don't have to put it up on the screen, as long as you've got it in the record. I know you're
working. I have it in the record. Yeah. It's in the handout that you've got in front of you.
Okay, I bet it is. As long as we've got that in the record, because I know you were working on this with the staff. So,
right.
I'm very interested to see what you came up with. So,
basically creating red carpet of commercial along 60th from Halsey down to the MAX station.
Okay, good. Thank you. And that has the support of the neighborhood?
It does.
Okay.
And that's one of the things we're good for, is neighborhood associations.
Oh, here it is. I've got it.
Hold this together.
Yeah. Thank you very much for working more on that, because I know that was one I was particularly interested in seeing some additional thought, and you have done it. So thank you.
Yeah. Public involvement.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Vivian Satterfield, representing Opal Environmental Justice Oregon, and this council is familiar with my organization and the scope of our work. And so just a slight reminder that, you know, leadership and accountability for reducing risks and enhancing meaningful public engagement are needed at every level of government to develop solutions to environmental justice problems. Environmental and land use planning agencies at every level must integrate achieving environmental justice into their missions and make implementation a part of their core program activities. It's also important to remember that government at every level has not always been proactive in addressing environmental justice concerns, and citizen protest has been the catalyst that has prompted government action. And, you know, in short, land use, access, housing, and transportation are all environmental justice issues and are reasons why Opal is a member of the Anti-Displacement PDX Coalition. There are policies in the current comp plan which do speak to environmental justice concerns, 2.4, 2.4A, and 2.4B. I do want to highlight, though, one particular site, 1639 Southeast Holgate. And my understanding is there's a current proposal of a change from designation from EG1 to CM2. My understanding, even though I'm not a planner, is that this is considered an upzone, and that up designations should deliver some public community benefits. Public agencies in particular have a responsibility to mitigate potential displacement, and for example, TriMet with the yellow line. I regret that Commissioner Fish is not here. I understand that he's presently brought up publicly that, you know, we should be getting more from the orange line since it's a huge public investment. So this TriMet site, which is over there, again, 1639 Southeast Holgate, is near the orange line, and, you know, coincidentally, it's actually in a neighborhood that I was displaced from in 2011 as a renter due to increased rental rates that I really attribute to the orange line. And so, you know, as I'm working with community members on Powell Division, this is something that we're looking and thinking about critically in terms of land banking and what sort of community benefits we can be looking at as we're planning for large-scale public investments on transit.
So this is the site that's actually owned by TriMet, right?
That's correct. Yeah, yeah, and, okay. Yeah, and my understanding is that it's been given an upzoning, which essentially allows TriMet to do more with that land.
Well, yeah, and I guess the issue there in that corridor, and it's a little bit, it is a question in my mind about whether we try to preserve that area primarily for employment or whether we do allow housing